This is 9/11 Free Fall.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 9/11 Free Fall. My name is Andy Steele, and I am the host. We're going to be joined by Richard Gage and Ted Walter. They'll be talking about the events and outreach taking place around this year's September 11th anniversary. That interview is coming your way tonight.
The views expressed on this show by guests and the host on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Now, before I play that interview tonight, I want to read a letter from Richard Gage, the president and founder of AE 9/11 Truth. This letter went out to our supporters this week and is posted on our website. It's titled, Building 7 Study to be released September 3rd. I need your help to spread it far and wide. And it begins, Dear friends, in just a couple of weeks, the breakthrough Building 7 study by Dr. Leroy Halsey will be released, proving definitively that fire did not cause the destruction of World Trade Center Building 7 on 9/11. I urgently need your help to raise $50,000 by August 31st to spread the word about this study far and wide. Fortunately, a determined donor has stepped forward with a generous challenge gift of $5,000. That means this donor is challenging the community, including you, to equal his donation by August 31st so that this report can be shared as widely as possible. So folks, what this means is that we've gotten a gift of $5,000, and it sounds like a lot, but as you'll hear Richard mention in the interview tonight, the cost of the National Press Club room is exactly that. So that's only a portion of the expenses needed for this year's anniversary events and for the outreach being planned around this study. There's other venues, other expenses, and we always do these events, which require travel, with the bottom line in mind. So that means that we stay with local supporters who put us up at their homes. But we got to fly there. We got to get materials printed. So many things that aren't typically mentioned in these bulletins. Richard's letter continues, when you give today, your gift will be used immediately to launch a multi-channel public awareness campaign about this groundbreaking study. For example, for just $25, you can ensure that 10 engineers receive our large format postcard about the report. Plus, you'll receive one too, helping us reach 20,000 engineers across the country. So let me just take a moment to state the obvious. The corporate media hasn't exactly been the most cooperative entity in our society when it comes to this issue and getting the word out when new evidence comes forward or when there are major developments that support the need for a new investigation. Again, they have not been very helpful in that regard. And if you're chuckling right now, that's because you know that what I just said is a huge understatement. The corporate media has actually been downright hostile and adversarial to us. And that's because they want to bury this. They're frustrated right now with their inability to, and it's costing them their prestige and the public's trust, and that's a good thing. But we got to keep that positive trend going on the 9/11 issue, and we have to continue our outreach efforts. And part of that is in reaching out directly to the engineering world, because many engineers and people in general have just trusted the corporate media and haven't even bothered to look into the nuts and bolts of this issue. Well, now that the study is out, it's going to be a big game changer. I mean, think about it. A fully transparent, university-published study stating and backing up the fact that NIST's conclusions are downright wrong. I mean, that's something the engineering community is really going to have to jump through some major personal hurdles to ignore. And we're not going to let it be ignored. We're going to contact university professors, forensic engineering investigators, ASCE members, and many other members of the engineering community to let them know that this study exists. And it sounds like a simple action, right? But in reality, we've been working since winter just to compile this list. I mean, it's not like these contact spreadsheets are readily available on the internet. This information has to be gathered, and I've had amazing volunteers who've put in a lot of hours to get that information, get it in the format that the mailing company needs. In many cases, too, this information isn't even listed anywhere. Volunteers and myself have had to do research, doing some Googling, to find people that we're reaching out to, and where they're located, their firms, and all of that, just to get this mailer on their desk. So this is all the behind the scenes everyday work that we don't talk about often, but it happens. So now this list is made, but we got to pay for the mailer to go out. And we're not just sending this mailer out and calling it a day. This is only the opening shot and getting the word out about this important study. Richard's letter continues, "Not only that, but your gift will be used to organize presentations in Fairbanks, Berkeley, and New York, hold a major news conference in Washington, D.C. with the Franklin Square Fire Commissioners, produce a powerful short video for social media, and commission a new YouGov survey, and more." And we'll be talking about those events tonight. On top of all of that, we want to produce a video that will go viral on social media, because that's the way things are done now in these here modern times. And we also want to commission a survey, as was mentioned before. I mean, think about it. When random people are polled and watch a video of World Trade Center 7 go down and end up stating the obvious, that they think it looks like pre-placed explosives brought it down, it lends weight to our cause. And you combine that with the Building 7 study, the legal actions that are going on, developments like that with the fire commissioners. We had Chris Joy on the show a few weeks ago, and that's a force that's hard to ignore. It just adds weight to this issue, puts more pressure on the powers that be to address it, and continues our great work here in the 9/11 Truth community. Richard concludes in his letter, "Will you give generously today to make sure we do not miss this incredible opportunity to bring this game-changing study about Building 7's destruction to the public's attention?" Folks, good things are happening right now, and we got to keep them happening. So whatever you can do to help out, even if it's a little bit, it's powerful. And believe me, it's greatly appreciated. All right, the interview with Richard and Ted is coming your way. I am joined today by two key members of this organization, AE 9/11 Truth. The first one is Ted Walter. He holds a Master's of Public Policy degree from the University of California, Berkeley. Prior to his current role with AE, he was the director of NYC CAN's 2014 High-Rise Safety Initiative. He was also a volunteer campaign manager for AE's Rethink 9/11 campaign in 2013 and the director of NYC CAN's 2009 ballot initiative. He's also the lead author of Beyond Misinformation, What Science Says About the Destruction of World Trade Center Buildings 1, 2, and 7. I'm holding it right now. Ted, thank you for all the great work you're doing. Welcome back to 9/11 Freefall.
Thanks, Andy. It's always great to be on.
And he's joined by none other than Richard Gage, AIA. Richard is a San Francisco Bay Area architect of 30 years. He's a member of the American Institute of Architects, and he's the founder and president of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, which now represents more than 3,000 architects and engineers who have signed our petition demanding a new investigation into the destruction of all three World Trade Center skyscrapers on September 11th. He's been all over the world pushing this for a number of years. Great sacrifice, great work being done. Richard, welcome back to 9/11 Freefall.
Thank you, Andy. It's my honor.
So we've got a lot going on here in the world of AE 9/11 Truth. It's a great time to tune in and keep track of all the great developments that are going on. And we've got events coming up, too, this September 11th or around the time of the 11th. And our supporters are always interested in knowing what's happening around America, what parts of the United States and all over the world, I guess, this time around, are giving attention to the evidence. But before we get into the details of those events, let's take a step back. Let's look at the big picture and everything that we've been talking about on this show and in our bulletins to our supporters. Tell our story as it stands right now. So, Richard, can you give our supporters that bird's eye view, that overview of everything that's been going on?
Well, there's so much, Andy. I'll start with this. For 4 years now, we have been consulting with the University of Alaska, and we have an agreement with them. Leroy Halsey, one of the top forensic structural engineers in the country, chairperson of the Department of Civil and Structural Engineering and Environmental Engineering. This relationship has now produced a document which I think will change the course of 9/11 truth and the movement that we are a very important part of. What am I saying? I'm saying that World Trade Center Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell in 7 seconds on the afternoon at 5:20 on 9/11, after the other Twin Towers had come down, 7 hours after. This building, which wasn't hit by a plane, drops at free fall acceleration straight down into its own footprint. Of course, the official story tells us, hey, this came down by normal office fires. Well, office fires have never brought down a skyscraper. And so one of our key supporters in Alaska contacted this professor and said, hey, what do you think about this? Can you examine this? And this was 4 years ago. And we have engaged in a $300,000 contract with the university since then to produce proof of whether fires could or could not have done that. And this has been quite a process. And now this study is set to be released the first week of September. We are so excited. It has been a long time in coming. And what is the conclusion? Fires could not have brought down Building 7. Well, and it's over 130 pages long. So we are, of course, delighted that a top-level university study like this is now going to hit the streets and go throughout the university system and turn the engineering profession and academia on its head. And so we think this will gain recognition in the media as well, and hopefully in Congress. So that's what I am most excited about this September's activities, because we've got a whole lot of activities rounding up around the release of this study, getting the professor to speak at different universities. I'll be on the East Coast as well. We have a huge press conference we'll be telling you about. So that's what I'm excited about, Andy.
Well, I know you're excited, and I know a lot of people are excited. They've been waiting a long time for this, and I really think it is going to change the debate, as Richard has said. You know, changing the course of 9/11 truth, forget that. It's going to change the course of history. All of this time and energy and money put into something that has been intuitive for most of the people in the movement, just watching World Trade Center 7 come down. By having this study to be able to present, to completely, definitively refute what NIST claims happened on that day, is really going to put the debate to rest. I mean, I don't doubt that the people who don't like what we're doing are going to try to mount an argument, but it's going to be pretty hard for them to stand up to this. That's why this is so important. That's why engineering professors all over the world, people who are in the engineering business, forensic investigators, need to hear about this and at least have it in their mind, knowing that we were lied to about that day. Ted, I want to hear your perspective. How do you feel that this is going to change the debate when it comes out?
So I think this study is going to have a huge impact immediately when it's released. I think that obviously folks in independent media, people in 9/11 Truth Movement will be talking about it. There will be a huge buzz about it, and it'll be very educational. It's 130 pages of, you know, really robust analysis of what happened to this building on September 11th and what could not have happened to it on September 11th. And I think that given what we're talking about here, a major university doing a study that is directly refuting an important government report on one of the most important events in history, you know, I think that this is going to spill over into the mainstream, into the mainstream media. We've seen this already. We've seen, you know, fits and spurts of mainstream coverage of Dr. Holsey's research already over the past couple of years. And we're also going to be working really hard to make sure that this becomes widely known about within the engineering community, both, you know, the academic engineering community, all the thousands of engineering professors out there, as well as the construction industry and all the professional associations, both in the United States and across the world. And so we have several initiatives that are, well, already in the works, already in the process of being implemented, such as a large postcard that we're going to be sending to 20,000 engineers across the U.S., informing them about the study and inviting them to read it, to host a presentation at their university, and to sign our petition. This is going to be, I believe, maybe two-thirds of the recipients are professors, civil engineering professors, structural engineering professors, mechanical engineering professors. And then we're also targeting several thousand members of the ASCE, which is the American Society of Civil Engineers, the NSPE, which is the National Society of Professional Engineers, and so on. And so really there's after this point, you know, it's a turning point. It's a before and after moment where there's really no excuse at this point for somebody in the engineering world, A, to not be aware of this, and B, this incredible research, this huge body of research that's been done over the last few years, that they're going to have to contest with. And it'll be very interesting to see how the powers that be within the engineering community, the leadership of the ASCE and so on, respond or not respond. Are they going to ignore it? But, you know, one of the things that we will be doing is writing to every single professional association, asking them to participate in the six-week public comment period that will take place from when the study is released in the first week of September until mid-October. Just as many of those associations, many of those universities and engineers participated in when the NIST report on Building 7 was released and submitting public comments, we're asking people to do the same with this report. The big difference this time around is that we're going to be making all of the data available, total transparency, all of the data that was used in the study, all of the data that was generated throughout the course of the study is going to be made available on our website so that anybody who wants to look under the hood and see what was done here can do that. And so we look forward to having these organizations hopefully participate. And essentially, if you're an engineer, if you're a serious engineer, and you want to say Building 7 collapsed due to fire, you need to be able to explain what is wrong or where we went wrong or where Professor Holsey went wrong in his analysis of what happened to Building 7 on 9/11. And based on, from my vantage point of having been involved in this process, there is nothing wrong with this analysis. It has been totally objectively performed, and it largely confirms what any open-minded, rational, objective engineer would hypothesize when they look at the collapse of Building 7, the way that it comes down symmetrically at free fall acceleration directly into its footprint. Primary hypothesis should be that this building collapsed due to controlled demolition. And only in the case of overwhelming evidence to the contrary should we even consider another hypothesis. Well, here we have overwhelming evidence that confirms the hypothesis that anyone should consider the primary hypothesis when they look at the collapse of Building 7.
Absolutely. And what I love about it is what you mentioned, the transparency, the fact that everything is going to be laid out for the people who support us, the people who don't support us to look at. We aren't going to make up some excuse of jeopardizing public safety like the federal government did. We are open and transparent because we are right, and we got to promote this. We got to do what people throughout history have done. Whenever they release important studies like this, they need to present it. And that is why we're going to be starting off our anniversary events in Alaska, University of Alaska Fairbanks, Shiable Auditorium, if I'm pronouncing it right. It's going to be on September the 3rd. Richard, tell us about this event.
This is pretty exciting. And what Professor Holsey is going to be showing at the culmination of this four-year project is videos in which he modeled he and his PhD graduate students, they have modeled what could have brought the building down after, as Ted suggested, they proved what couldn't have brought the building down, fires, because he models the same set of assumptions and conditions that NIST did, and lo and behold, the building doesn't come down. In fact, it's a very stable, redundantly designed structure. But when you take out all eight stories of columns, 82 columns on each of eight stories, virtually at once, lo and behold, the computer model shows exactly what the video of the collapse from 2001 does. It drops at free fall and symmetrically. It's absolutely astonishing. So I think on September 3rd at this presentation, which will be live streamed, people can watch Professor Halsey live on September 3rd, 4 o'clock. And so this is incredible. And at the same day, this study will be released to the public.
I just want to add 4 o'clock Alaska time, which is 8 o'clock Eastern time and 5 o'clock Pacific time for folks who want to tune into that presentation.
And guess what? In 2 days after that, at the University of California in Berkeley, Professor Halsey will be presenting on campus at the university faculty club there, this presentation as well at 5 p.m. Pacific, which is 8 p.m. Eastern. So that's pretty exciting because we will make sure that that room is packed with engineering students and engineering faculty. And that's all on September 5th. So this is building up to a big crescendo of events and excitement for our 9/11 anniversary, this 18th anniversary. I mean, it's about time. And that's just the beginning. Wait till I tell you about what the fire commissioners have done in the New York area.
Right, and we're going to get to that. Of course, that is a huge buzz in the alternative media right now. But before we do, you mentioned the event in Berkeley, September 5th, 5 p.m. Pacific. And, of course, the University of Alaska Fairbanks event, you can actually watch that via live stream right from our site. Just go to our article that's titled Science, Truth, and Justice, 18 Years Later, September 2019, Schedule of Events. It provides the live stream. Great thing to watch as you're getting ready to go to New York or Washington, D.C. to be with us. And in Berkeley, I find this very interesting. First of all, I like it because it's not too far from where I am. I don't even have to drive to go there. I just hop on BART and I'll be there. But beyond that, I think this is an important venue. And I want to ask Ted, how did it come to be that we ended up choosing Berkeley as the venue for this presentation?
Well, we knew that the study really needed to be released at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where Dr. Leroy Halsey and his team have been working on this study for 4 years. But Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, as many of our listeners know, was founded in Berkeley in 2006. And many of our petition signers, probably a disproportionate number of our architects and engineers who have signed our petition, are also from the San Francisco Bay Area, along with our founder, Richard Gage, who's here. So it just seemed like the perfect place. And of course, Berkeley is, you know, a renowned university, a very, very good engineering program. And we just thought it was the right place to do a presentation a couple days later, and relatively accessible for Dr. Halsey as well. So he's going to be flying down between his presentation on the 3rd and the presentation on the 5th, and he will be coming to the Berkeley campus to give this presentation. And as you mentioned, we're going to be working the next couple of weeks to get as many Berkeley engineering students, Berkeley students in general, engineering faculty there, and of course, people in the area, supporters of the organization, petition signers to attend this event on September 5th. And it's very exciting. And I believe one of our board members, Kamal Obaid, a structural engineer from the South Bay area, he got his master's degree in engineering from Berkeley, is also going to be speaking or giving opening remarks and introducing Dr. Halsey at that September 5th event.
Now, Richard alluded to this, and we're going to really put a big spotlight on it. We're going to be doing events in New York this September 11th time. It's not going to be on September 11th. It's going to be September 7th. It's going to be at the Unitarian Church of All Souls, which I think is going to be a major historical site someday when we win this thing and 9/11 Truth is acknowledged by everyone, because there have been so many events at this church. And I really think the name of that church is so representative of the movement. I mean, all souls, all types of people, different political perspectives, different outlooks on the world, just all sorts of different people coming together for this issue because it's so important and it affects so many of us that we put that stuff aside and all unite. So there's going to be another event there on September 7th, and this is really a lawyers committee event, but Richard, you're going to be speaking there. So tell us more about it.
This is the result of the emergence of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, who, since 2016, we had a major event in New York called 9/11 Justice in Focus, where we presented, our experts were there on hand in person to present to a panel of a dozen attorneys. And since then, this Lawyers Committee has just taken off. And they're doing all kinds of research on the World Trade Center and on areas of research outside the World Trade Center. And they have submitted now our evidence to the U.S. attorney. And he has written back and said, yes, we will comply with the law requiring us to impanel a special grand jury to review this evidence. And so we're waiting for the proof of that. But in the meantime, this lawyers committee who's sponsoring this event on September 7th will be submitting a mandamus action to force them to do just that. Well, they don't stop there. On our behalf, they have also submitted, and the behalf of the 9/11 victim family members, submitted a lawsuit in Washington, D.C., which is intended to force the FBI to release our evidence to Congress because they withheld that evidence from the 9/11 Commission review. And that was in 2015. And so we have proof from the FBI that they have the nanothermite paper, which most of our listeners are quite familiar with. And we have proof because that they have reviewed our DVD because they wrote back and said, gosh, it seems to be backed by thorough research and analysis, which is great because all we have to do is hand this to a judge or jury, however the case goes, and they will force them to comply. Well, they'll be updating the public at this conference on September 7th, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern time, and they have some special guests as well. I'll be speaking there about the World Trade Center 7 evidence and the Twin Towers evidence, the explosive evidence that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, without a university study, of course, we can prove that these buildings were blown up. That just is the icing on the cake.
I want to speak to that, Richard. Richard,
yeah,
sorry to jump in, but I wanted to speak to that real quickly because I know that, and I've asked myself this question for the years that we've been working on this study as well. Why do we have to do this study when there's already overwhelming evidence that Building 7 was brought down by controlled demolition? And most people just need to look at it to understand that it was almost certainly brought down by controlled demolition. And I think, well, there's two ways to answer this. But the first is, what this study is really about is overcoming two things that we are facing. We know that the science is already on our side. The science overwhelmingly says controlled demolition. This study is about taking the next step and overcoming both, first, the fraud, the disinformation that has been promulgated by the government, by the National Institute of Standards and Technology since 2008 and before, but 2008 is when they released the report on Building 7. And it's about overcoming denial. So there was those two things that we're up against. The science is already on our side. The study is just taking it a step further because those are the two things that we're really facing now, disinformation and denial. And this study, we believe, exposes the disinformation in an incredibly potent and compelling way and will hopefully help millions of people overcome their denial, the denial that they deal with, that they face when they look at this question of why this building came down and why all three of these buildings came down on September 11th. So that's why we had to do the study. And that's what we believe the study is going to change as far as this now almost two-decade quest for truth about what happened on 9/11.
So it reaches those who refuse to look at the forensic evidence or can't possibly conceive that it could be real. Excellent points, Ted. And I just want to also add that the most we found as we've gone to engineering and architecture conferences throughout the country every year, that most of these engineers know nothing about the third worst structural failure in modern history. Nothing. And they're just shocked to see this building come down. They say, oh, yeah, that's a controlled demolition on the video in our evidence booth at these conferences. And they go, well, when did that happen? We go, well, that was on 9/11. Oh, that doesn't look like one of the Twin Towers. Oh, yeah, nope, it's not one of the Twin Towers. This is the third skyscraper that collapsed at almost freefall. So this will get the attention also of the engineering community more so than the forensic evidence has been able to. We found a lot of resistance, especially in the actual leadership of the AIA, the ASCE, NSPE, et cetera. That's why we're going to the rank and file with project due diligence, where our engineers are now addressing chapters of the American Society of Civil Engineers with this evidence and backed up, of course, by the study. That's what they're presenting first. Then when their minds are open, when they can bring in the forensic evidence. So yeah, all of that will be addressed also on September 7th in New York, but also they're going to have a special guest here. And this is Christopher Gioia from the Franklin Square Fire District. He is one of five fire commissioners who have voted overwhelmingly for a resolution demanding a new investigation of the events of 9/11, particularly the World Trade Center collapses, the destruction is what they really are, of all three skyscrapers there. So this is a brave set of fire commissioners who have actually, inspired by the loss of one of their own in the towers, to actually look at the evidence, not be bound by fear, not be bound by political pressures or the financial pressures of losing pensions, because these in particular were volunteers, the brave souls that without even getting paid, secure and protect the city from fire and help with paramedic issues and other first responder type emergencies. They are hell-bent on waking up other fire commissioners and firefighters in the New York area particularly and beyond. So this is so exciting. So Christopher will be speaking in New York along with us at 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. and in Washington, D.C. on the 11th, which we haven't even gotten to. So very exciting there. I know Ted will want to share more about his working directly with the fire district there.
Yeah, well, I'll just say that Christopher Gioia, on behalf of the Franklin Square Munson Fire District, contacted us back at the beginning of the summer, telling us that they had big plans to try to bring this issue forward within the fire service community in the New York area. And at one point then informed us that they were going to be considering a resolution calling for a new investigation and supporting the ongoing grand jury investigation in the Southern District of New York. And sure enough, that's what happened. It's been really an honor and a joy to work with Gioia and his fellow commissioners as they've taken this bold first step. And, you know, it wasn't just a one-time thing, a one-off affair. They're really digging in now. They're going to be joining us on September 7th, Gioia is. And then as well, Gioia and his fellow commissioner, Joseph Torregrossa, are both going to be in D.C. at the news conference that we're holding on the morning of the 11th and in the afternoon, going through the halls of Congress, meeting members of Congress, et cetera, which we will get to. But it's been a real honor and a privilege and a joy to work with them. And I'm just so excited about what their emergence within the 9/11 Truth Movement, what that promises over the next couple of years. And I believe that they're going to be very successful in getting their message out and rallying their peers to join us all in fighting for a new investigation, and particularly a new investigation of the murder of their friends, their colleagues, and their loved ones.
I'm just wondering what it would like to be in that room when that resolution was passed, Ted. I wasn't there. You were. What was that like?
It was amazing. It was amazing for the quiet confidence with which they all conducted themselves. There was no hesitation. Commissioner Gioia read a portion of the text from the petition that the Waters Committee filed with the U.S. Attorney last year, and then moved on to reading the language of the proposed resolution and just the way that they went about it and, you know, down the line, all the I's. It was just very professional and dignified and confident. And then you had the families of two of the, one of them, his name was Tommy Hetzel. He was a member of the Franklin Square Fire Department as a volunteer, but also worked full-time for the FDNY, and that's why he was down at the World Trade Center on 9/11 and was inside the towers rescuing people when the towers went down. The other was a member of the FDNY, but not a member of their department, but a resident of Franklin Square. His family was also there. So the families of these two firefighters who were killed on 9/11 were there in the front row, supporting the fire commissioners as they passed this resolution unanimously. So it was very moving, very uplifting. And, you know, I just have nothing but absolute admiration for all five of these commissioners.
Absolutely. And he will be speaking on September 7th. Again, it'll be the Unitarian Church of All Souls. And we've got the address right up at ae911truth.org under that article I mentioned before. And I just decided I'm going to post this article in the show description for quick and easy access for our listeners, so you can schedule, you can plan, you can be there to hear Christopher Gioia, hear Richard Gage. You can also hear William Binney and Mark Crispin Miller are going to be speaking there as well. A lot of great big names in the truth movement, courageous people who have stepped forward and lent their voice to this call for a new investigation. Now, I want to talk about our Washington, D.C. actions taking place, but I thought this deserves a mention, and we listed it on the site. There's an event on the morning of, well, it's actually the entire event, it goes throughout the entire day. Richard will be speaking early at it via Skype. It's called 9/11 Perspectives Public Masterclass on the Events of September 11th, 2001. Richard, can you briefly tell our audience about that event?
This is in Zurich. And the Europeans try to do something major each year. And they come from all, you know, all across Europe to go to these events. This particular event is now sponsored by Barbara Honegger, who will also be speaking there. But I'll be addressing those who are internationally interested in the World Trade Center 7 study that we've been referring to here, because they see this as a way to, they more than us, I think, even need to develop the relationship with their engineers in order to get a respectable reception in polite society. So they want to get the engineers riled up and aware of this deception, and so that's their next best hope. Also about 9/11 truth awareness in general. There are also other speakers there. Daniel Ganzer will be speaking. I don't have that speaker list in front of me. Niels Harrit will be there, who developed the 25-page peer-reviewed paper documenting the red-gray chips of nanothermite at the World Trade Center and all of the dust samples, very well documented, should not be in the dust. It's direct evidence of active thermitic materials, not paint, as those debunkers say. So Niels Harrit will be representing that study as well. And anybody know of the other speakers there?
Well, and I know Mick Harrison is going to be speaking there as well, probably via Skype, just like you, I would imagine. And you're actually going to be taking time out during the day of September 11th to do this after our press conference. Richard, I don't envy you. It sounds like a very busy September 11th anniversary that you're going to be having.
That one starts at 7 in the morning, so because it's in the afternoon on Zurich time. So I'll get an early start that morning. But then
Then we're going to be rushing to downtown Washington, D.C.
That's right, and that leads us into our next event, which is going to be the news conference. It's called Justice for 9/11 Heroes. This is going to feature Richard, of course, two fire commissioners from Franklin Square and Munson Fire District, and the McIlvains, along with the Lawyers Committee people. That's just the general overview. Richard, can you dive a little bit deeper and tell us more about it?
Yeah, this is a nationally famous, if you will, iconic at least, speaking venue for senators, presidents, famous authors, etc. We will be booking one of these very nice rooms, which carries a price tag, by the way, for those of you who don't know what we're about here and why we're trying to raise the funds necessary to facilitate all of these activities. This is a $5,000 price tag just to have an event there and have it live streamed. Yes, we'll be live streaming it starting at 10 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. So for those of you who can't make it, and we hope the place will be packed with press so that even if you can make it, you'll find standing room only, we hope. But if that is the case, you'll be able to watch it on live stream from your iPhones. Just go to our website, and it will be live on YouTube. We'll give you the link. This is an incredible opportunity to bring together the fire commissioners whom we've been talking about, the University of Alaska study, which we've been talking about, the forensic evidence, which we've only briefly touched, and the family members, the victim's family members, Bob McIlvain and his wife Helen, will be there too, representing the dozens of family members who have signed our petition demanding a new investigation. So this is a historic press conference that we're focusing the theme this year on the fire commissioners and their demand for justice for their fallen heroes and the family members, and just truth in general.
In my view, it's important to do some kind of outreach to the press, a press conference every single year, just to remind them that we are still here. I often call ourselves the telltale heart of America, beating beneath the floorboards and reminding them that we have not had justice on this issue. So when we rent out the National Press Club, when we go forward with people like Bob McIlvain, and now we're adding the fire commissioners as well, and the Lawyers Committee people and the fine work that they are doing, it reminds the press, whether they choose to cover it or not, it reminds them that we are not going away. We're not going to let time pass and let our interest and energy diminish. We are still here, and this issue is going to continue to come up every year, all throughout each year, until we have some action on it. Now, that's my view on why it's so important to do a press conference like this. I want to hear it from Ted, though. From your own perspective, why is it important to meet at a place like the National Press Club and get this message out?
Well, it's about setting the tone for what's ahead. And there's only so much movement that happens in one day. But the emergence of the Franklin Square and Munson Fire Districts, Christopher Gioia and the other commissioners there, the importance of that can't be overstated. And I believe that over the next 2 years, they're going to accomplish a tremendous amount. And fire service in New York State, you know, you're talking about tens of thousands of firefighters out there who lost colleagues, whose community was, you know, directly attacked on 9/11. And when you get that constituency speaking out, it's going to move mountains on this issue. And so this is all about Christopher Gioia, Joseph Torregrossa, and the folks there in Franklin Square announcing themselves to the world, continuing to beat that drum over the next couple of years, and us doing what we can to help them and to back them up, give them the expert scientific analysis that they need to make the case to their fellow firefighters. It's also about Bob and Helen, and Bob has been fighting this fight for so many years. You know, I know from talking to both Bob and Christopher Gioia in the last couple of weeks that they have tremendous admiration for each other, and they're really looking forward to meeting each other and joining forces. And I think that I know Bob and Helen were just really encouraged and uplifted when they learned about the Franklin Square Fire District passing this resolution. And that's why Helen, you know, one of the reasons why Helen's coming down this year to D.C. to be with Bob and to be a part of this news conference and the lobbying, the meeting with members of Congress that we're going to be doing that afternoon. I know she's really encouraged and overjoyed by the firefighters getting on board with this issue. She was first really, brought on board. You know, Bob had been at it for many years, but it was Helen attending a presentation. I believe this one was in 2015. No, it had to be 2015. Presentation that Richard gave with Eric Lawyer in New York. Helen attended that and was really persuaded by what we all know is the very compelling scientific evidence of controlled demolition. And so she's been very supportive these last few years, and now because of this most recent development, she's coming out as well on the 11th. So it's about setting the tone and sending out the message and then following through on that in the coming months and year and however long it takes to win this fight.
Absolutely. And folks, that's going to be at 10 a.m. Washington, D.C., National Press Club. The room and address is right there on the website. I'll be posting this in the show description for easy access. And if you can attend, then certainly be a part of that. And then we're going to be doing some outreach later on in the afternoon from 1 to 5. And this has been a big effort, and I'm in the thick of it right now. It's a lot of people participating, and this is a good thing to have happening. It's keeping me very busy, but I want to be busy with this kind of work. So it's going to be surrounding the Bobby McIlvain Act and all of the other stuff that we've been talking about lends weight to the Bobby McIlvain Act. But just in case we have new listeners, Ted, can you briefly remind our audience what the Bobby McIlvain Act is?
Sure. So the Bobby McIlvain Act, the full name is the Bobby McIlvain World Trade Center Investigation Act, is draft legislation that we at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth drafted 2 years ago. And we launched the campaign on the 11th 2 years ago in 2017. The legislation, basically, when it is introduced and passed, will establish a select committee in either chamber of Congress to reinvestigate the destruction of the three World Trade Center skyscrapers. And so very straightforward legislation establishing a select committee, and we've been basically hammering on the doors of every member of Congress for the last almost 2 years to get this legislation looked at, introduced, and passed. And, many of our thousands of supporters, people listening to this show right now, have participated in that, have already contacted their members of Congress probably two or three times. And now I know many of you are participating in helping us and helping the Franklin Square and Munson Fire District commissioners get meetings with members of Congress on the 11th. So that's going to be Christopher Gioia, Joseph Torregrossa, Bob and Helen McIlvain, and Richard, and myself going to as many members of Congress as we can possibly fit in one afternoon. And Andy, I'll sort of hand the torch off to you on this one, but I believe we're almost fully booked for the 11th, and we're looking at having to expand into the 12th and possibly the 13th to go to all these meetings.
That's right. We're almost fully booked for the 11th, and I think probably after today we will be. We'll have to see. But we will be there the 12th, the 13th, and we will certainly take any takers that we can on these meetings. We want to get this out in front of as many congresspeople that will listen to us. So please continue to push for these meetings, and even if there's scheduling conflicts or something like that, we've got plan B's and plan C's. We want to get the Bobby McIlvain Act in front of as many people as possible because we want it passed. We want it introduced. We want it passed. We want resolution on this issue and final victory because this is the right thing to do. And this is exactly what we've been asking Congress to do all these years. Here it is encapsulated in a bill. We've done the work for them. We've written it. And we just need some brave congressman to step forward and do the right thing.
Yeah, and I would add that the strategy that we've been focused on for a better part of a year and a half has been we only, because of the particular uniqueness of our issue, we only need one member of Congress to do this, to introduce this legislation, and it will set off a firestorm. That will be a huge educational moment for the entire country. It just takes one member of Congress to introduce this resolution, and it will be covered in the media. Of course, this whoever that brave member of Congress is will have to endure lots of attacks. But you know what? And this is another piece of what we're going to be doing in September. When people see the collapse of Building 7, a majority of Americans either suspect or are certain that it was a controlled demolition. and a tiny minority believe the official story. Overwhelmingly, Americans reject the official account of Building 7's collapse just from looking at 30 seconds of footage. And so that's all it takes, is one member of Congress having that courage to introduce the resolution, and boom, millions of Americans are going to be learning about Building 7, learning about this obvious controlled demolition, and then learning about the evidence of the Twin Towers demolition as well. And then that's how we get the legislation passed in a fairly short order of time after the initial legislation is introduced.
That's why your participation out there in the listening audience is so vital, because you're a constituent, they need to listen to you, and opening that door for the fire commissioners, for the McIlvains, for Richard and Ted to get in there and present this evidence, present the need for a new investigation, for passing the Bobby McIlvain Act, is one of the greatest things that you can do at this time in history. And it's not that hard. All you got to do is write to your congressman, go to their website. There, a lot of times they'll have the option, schedule a meeting, and just do that initial outreach. You can contact us at congress@ae911truth.org. Get in touch with me. I will help you along the way as much as you need it. Do whatever we can, whatever I can, to make sure that this is successful, that the September 11th runs as smoothly as possible, and that the best outcome that we can get arises from these actions. And it's not just scheduling these meetings that you can do. I mean, if you are coming to D.C. for September 11th, which I recommend people do. I understand that people have got to work and things like that, but if you've got the time and you've got the money to come down and be a part of things, it's just a great experience for you personally to be involved in actually doing something and to be in the presence of the Capitol building, so much history, and go to these congressional offices, which we are going to be doing. We've done this a lot of years. This is all part of reminding them that we still exist. So even for Congress members who we don't get meetings with, we're going to have some kind of outreach that morning, because we're going to be dropping off packets to the congressional offices. And we're going to need a lot of help with that, because it's no small task. And it's a cool experience. I've always enjoyed it. The buildings are beautiful in themselves. That's my personal opinion. And just walking through there and realizing that so much is decided for this country in these hallways, it's just something that really makes you feel like you're part of something important. I want everybody to have that experience and help us out, because we're going to really need the help. Again, like I said, it's no small task. So we're going to be delivering those packets that morning and have plenty for you to do. So we're coming to the end of this, but I just want to get your perspectives on this, because I feel the air is changing on this issue in so many ways, so many signs of it, from the outreach that volunteers are doing to presidential candidates, to what's going on with the Building 7 study, with the legal actions. I feel that positive things are happening. So first, we'll start with Ted and then Richard. Ted, do you agree with me, and why or why not?
Well, Andy, of course I do agree with you. You know, we've both been at this for a long time, and working our butts off, sacrificing a lot, and always watching very closely to see sort of where the temperature is, and it's clearly changing. You know, it's been moving in the right direction for a long time, I will say, I believe, but especially within the last 6 months to a year, we've at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth and the 9/11 Truth Movement have seen incredible progress, both in the efforts of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, as well as Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And, you know, finding new allies like the folks at the Franklin Square and Munson Fire District, and now the release of the Building 7 study. Really concrete positive things are happening here in a big way. But the temperature of the country out there in general is changing. People are becoming more skeptical. People are becoming more open-minded. Sadly, we live in a country and in an environment where, you know, we can't trust the media any longer to tell us the whole story. And that's becoming more evident to more and more people. And I think as we continue to make progress as an organization and as a movement, and we get a little further away from 9/11, so people are just a little less traumatized, really big things are going to start happening and continue to happen. And we will see truth exposed and justice done in a short order of time. I mean, I can't obviously guarantee that, but I feel very strongly that that's the direction that we're headed in.
Richard, same question. Do you feel the air has changed? Why or why not?
Yeah, I do. I have so much more reason to be hopeful. And it's not just about these breakthrough cannonballs that we're getting ready to fire upon the wall of denial in this country. The study and the commissioners particularly, there is a breakdown in general across the public spectrum in faith in our media, particularly, and our government also. The media has played its hand. It is proven to be a fake media. This is huge. This sociological phenomena here in the last several months, particularly, I think is breaking open this moment of opportunity for us. The light is really shining through the clouds here, and we've got the cannonballs to go along with it. So I think we're going to be hearing a lot from the mainstream media as a result. They're just going to have to cover this event, these two events, the fire district and the university study. So I'm very excited about the opportunities here, Andy. My internal systems are all keyed up, and I am ready to fire. I'm ready to go to battle.
That is right. A lot of positive things happening, and you can be a part of it. We have the schedule up. See what you can do, but even if you can't go to any of these events, do something. Tell somebody about the evidence this September 11th. Have them watch the films from AE, 9/11 Truth. Get a discussion going. Because of all of this talk, all of these years, people's minds are being opened up. I really think it's affecting the country and the entire world, and we just got to keep pushing. Time is on our side. I have no doubt that in the end, all of the people who have worked hard on this issue are going to be vindicated, and this is going to be a part of history. And I want all of our supporters out there to be part of history, too. Richard, Ted, thank you so much for all the work you're doing. It's epic. And thank you so much for coming on 9/11 Freefall today. This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele saying have a great week. Good luck.